our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. We welcome you to this Pentecost Sunday. And one author that I was reading made this statement in a column that he wrote, "Please don't refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the church. The day is much more interesting and risky than that." Because Pentecost is a time for Christians to be reminded that we are a bunch of dreamers. All of us are, whether we prefer to worship with our hands down at our sides, as probably most of us do, or perhaps with a little more fervor, perhaps in the Pentecostal flavor. And now I'm not really talking to you about individual dreamers who insist that they've got a gift or claim some special access to God. I am talking about the community of believers, the community of faith that discover that they together can be a vehicle for manifesting God's vision to the world. In Christian tradition, Pentecost brings the 50-day Easter season to a close. And really, that is the Christian, but also there is the Hebrew. And some people said, well, is Pentecost really a specifically Christian celebration? No. It was a Hebrew feast day, and it was 50 days after Passover. It was the Feast of Weeks was another word for it. And it was a time where it was remembered that the law was being given. And so it was a feast in honor of the law as well as harvest time. And so it's interesting that the Spirit came and the church began on a day when Jesus says he came to fulfill the law, and the law is fulfilled in its fullness. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes. And the first fruits, if you will, the first harvest of the church was on the day of Pentecost when 5,000 people came into the church in one day. And so that is a little bit of what we have as far as Pentecost. But not only that, that's the past, but it also points forward, if you will, to new beginnings. For when the Christians celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the new horizons that this opens up in the story of God's commitment to the world, that's what we see. When the Acts of the Apostles describes the imparting of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' followers on Pentecost, dreams and visions, it seems, were part of that description that was there. And these details really make some of us rather nervous, because really, though, they should make us expectant and eager to play a part in the emergence of God's vision, God's hopes, God's dreams. And the biblical story we know pretty well, that after the resurrection, that Jesus revealed himself and spent the next 40 days with the disciples and teaching them and talking with them and sharing with them. And then he is taken up into heaven on ascension, which was 10 days ago. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon those gathered in the upper room, and they go forth from that room loudly declaring, if you will, the goodness and the grace and the good news of God. And so that's what we see happening on the day of Pentecost. We have depicted over here on our Pentecost window, if you haven't noticed or had a chance to look at it, the depiction of the day of Pentecost with the disciples with the tongues of fire over their heads. And that's what that's all about, of course. And so they go out of that room bearing the good news and speaking it forth, but not just speaking it in Hebrew. And as I said, it was a great holiday event, a great feast day. And so people were gathered from all over the world, Hebrews who spoke other languages as their native tongues. And they were gathered, and all of a sudden they hear these people who were the disciples come out and begin speaking in their own native languages, declaring to them the gospel message, the goodness of God. And they hear it in a way that confuses them, because they know that these Hebrews speak Hebrew and that's it. And yet they're hearing that message in their own language. And so the confused crowd understandably ask, what does this mean? What's this is all about? And everything that follows in Acts chapter 2 really attempts to answer that question. And the Apostle Peter preaches a sermon to them, and he begins it this way. And what he does is he kind of paraphrases an Old Testament prophet, Joel, and saying, this is what Joel was talking about. This is what is happening now. And he says, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And there's more in Peter's speech there as well, but that's the main part that I want us to hear and talk about. Because Peter here, as I said, is quoting the prophet Joel in that, or really adding to it. What does this turn of events mean? Really is what the crowd says. What you see and hear today means that God's Spirit is here, is Peter's response to that. Expect to hear prophecies and dreams and visions from all of us. And so it's not just a prophet scattered here and there through the centuries, but now there is a widespread outpouring of God's Spirit, is what Peter here is saying. Now, in our day and age, words like prophecy and vision conjure up some memories that we don't necessarily find comfortable. It's kind of like the wild-eyed, long-haired, long-beard, robed fella walking the streets saying the world will end tomorrow. That's kind of what we think about when we think of prophecy, or the psychic friends on the late night TV if you happen to not be able to sleep and they're telling you that you can know about your future life and other foolishness. But Pentecost isn't about that kind of prophecy. Peter, I don't think, is saying that God's Spirit gives people the ability or license to clearly see into the future. He's more interested in saying that the Spirit helps us to make sense of the present, because that's what his whole Pentecost speech does. It offers an explanation of what God is making possible in the here and now. He's naming places and ways in which God is active and visible in the world. Excuse me, in that day and age. Now that Jesus is gone and the Holy Spirit has arrived. And when we call, I think, what Peter is doing in Acts 2 prophecy, we can do that. Because Peter is interpreting all the events that are happening, the tongues of fire, the speaking in foreign languages, the message being given forth in power and might. And so this ordinary work is what really lies ahead, but this is the initiation of it. And so he gives an explanation of the crowd's experience. And it is a theological explanation, saying that the day's events point beyond themselves to suggest that something about God and about God's purposes. And so there's unusual events happening right now. But that's what happens when God shows up. I remember, I think it's Annie Dillard, in one of her works writes that says, we invoke God's presence when we come to church. And if we really believe that, maybe if we really believe that God was going to come, we'd be wearing crash helmets and seat belts to hold ourselves in place if God really was going to be present in that kind of way. Well, that's kind of like what happened here. And so, God has shown up and things have gotten shaken up. And it's not just Peter, drawing from Joel, he characterized the community of Jesus' followers as a community of prophets and dreamers and visionaries, male and female, old and young, slaves and free. And it is a community who goes out and declares the good news, the gospel that gives meaning, the interpreters, the dreamers. That's what came out of the upper room that day. Now, what a scary thing to assert, really, that people might dare to speak about how events and circumstances connect with God's desires. And that can be dangerous. We know that. And we've all probably read or thought of occasions where someone claimed to be God's authority or God's desires and made things that really were pretty far off and sometimes even deadly or dangerous to others around them. And so that we be careful of. that the hazards of self-appointed zealous prophets are obvious. And the book of Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha even talks about that at one point. And it talks about, without the aid of modern psychology, people's dreams are just projections of their own values and desires and their own egos, it tells us. And so any act of prophecy done without humility and the ongoing openness is simply ego and dogmatism, pretty much. But it's wrong to assess those risks and then run the opposite direction, run away from it, because there's an even greater mistake at the other extreme. And that is when Christians, for the sake of caution or in the pursuit of respectability, totally disregard the fact that we are called to a prophetic vocation. We are called to be prophets, if you will. Now, please understand me when I'm talking about that. Prophecy is not foretelling the future. It's foretelling God's work and God's wisdom and God's will in the here and now. That's really what the prophets of old did. They looked around them. They saw the situation of the world around them. They knew what God's will and message was, and that's what they spoke forth. And so they weren't foretelling what was going to happen. They were telling forth the gospel message, or the message that they should get on board with God's design and God's vision and God's hopes and God's dreams, or else get out of the way or be knocked out of the way. That's what it was about. And so we are called to have a prophetic vision in our day and in our time to declare the goodness of God and the presence of God. And so this Sunday's Pentecost observances are more than a celebration of the past. They are not merely an end to the Easter season or a chance to gear up for our summer, if you will. It's much more than that. And I think about us today here at St. Luke's, and as I wind down on my time here and be leaving in another week, and I think about what this is really saying to the parish and to each one of us. It is saying, dream dreams, have visions of the future. You know, be prophetic in the neighborhood and in the world around you. Speak forth the word of God with clarity and boldness. Don't be confined to the four beautiful walls that we have here. Go out from here to speak the good news and to share the good news. And that's now the job that you and I have ahead of us, to see how God is going to work that out in our lives. And so it's indeed important for the leadership of this parish, but also for each and every one, to have dreams and visions and to say, what is God speaking to us for the future and today? What is God saying to us now? Not in the past, not in the glory of what we have been, but here today. What can we be doing, and what is God speaking to us for today and into the future? And dream those dreams. That's what it's all about. And it's not necessarily that, I'd hope you had some BHAGs, you know, some big, hairy, audacious goals that you dream up for the future. But also for the little dreams, that each and every one of us can have dreams and visions, because that's the whole message of this Pentecost sermon of Peter. He is saying you all, everybody has visions and dreams of God's working in the world and in our lives. And really, taking each one of those separately might seem small, but you put them together and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That God will be working and pouring out great things for St. Luke's, for your life, for mine as well. And so I'm excited for you, because I know that new and great things can happen at St. Luke's, looking ahead to the future and seeing new ways and new methods perhaps of ministry and new people that will be drawn in, and excited for us to see what direction we're going as well. But all of that is the work of the Spirit of God. And so, like any good dream, these dreams involve adopting new perspectives on what's possible and rousing our creativity to be free us from the conventional expectations. They help us to see that maybe what we thought was outlandish at one point actually lies within our reach with the help and the Spirit of God being there with us. Maybe we can find freedom from what binds us. Maybe there can be justice because we claim in our statement of our mission, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Maybe we can just do that. Maybe we can make a difference. Maybe there's a person, maybe a person's value is not determined by income or status. Maybe the future of our economy generally, or our society, or our planet is not yet determined. And maybe God is here with us to help with that, even if our current struggles never go away. And the Christian faith has its roster of exceptional dreamers who, like Jesus, insisted that God could make possible the things that other people thought always impossible. Never call anything that God declares impossible. I think an angel said that at some point or other. And the last century gives us people who saw that vision and walked in that vision, people such as Martin Luther King, or Dorothy Day, or Fannie Lou Hamer, or Oscar Romero, and so many, many others. But dreams do not always have to be dramatic. They can be, as I said, your own little dreams that we add together and see a great moving of the Spirit around us. And so God promises the Spirit to all flesh. It belongs to the whole community and to the world beyond this community as well. And even when this community's dreams might be smaller, more localized, or slower to develop, they still can be revolutionary in God's way of looking at things. And so, Christians, we do look back on the day of Pentecost, as we should, but we also look at the present and at the future, dreaming, visioning, hoping, and working for a church that will go out from these walls and share the good news, the gospel message in the power of the Spirit, to say that there is hope, there is love, there is unity, there is oneness, there is a God who wants to include all in God's kingdom, in God's realm. There is work for each of us to do. And as we allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and speak through our lips and our lives, that will be accomplished, and it will be a great day for St. Luke's and for each and every one of you and for us together. Amen.